This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, this is Jenny Murray welcoming you to this week's Podcast for Parents. Now, if you live in any of the United Kingdom's big cities, you can walk down the street and see dozens of people of different races generally mingling together with no difficulties. But what's it like if you're a person of colour and you move into a rural community where yours is the only black face? How do you and your children manage to fit in? Well, that was the question raised by Wanja Kimani, who recently moved to a small town in Cambridgeshire. We're joined by the author, Rachel Edwards, who moved into a village in Oxfordshire 22 years ago, and of course by Wanja. Wanja, what's it been like for you to move to a predominantly white part of the country?
Good morning, Jenny. It's been an interesting experience. It's come with its difficulties with people kind of making assumptions about my place and my position being there. So people kind of sometimes assuming that I'm taking something that belongs to the local population. I put that in quotes because who is local?
I think there was something that happened in the post office, wasn't there, that made you realise that something might be going on?
Yeah, so just last week I was outside the post office and a gentleman was in the queue behind me and he said that he was talking about his name being a local name to the area and saying that it's dying out generation by generation. And then he just skipped to the fact that social housing is now going to immigrants and then just glanced over at me. And it's, you know, I'm not taking up a space that I should, and I deserve to be there just as much as everyone else.
Rachel, yours was a long time ago.
That's right.
22 years ago. What was it like for you when you moved in?
Well, I feel it was slightly different then. Maybe we were in a more optimistic time back in the 90s, on the late 90s, when I moved from London after university to rural Oxfordshire. And I generally felt very welcome. Of course, I was conspicuous. There's a visible difference that my neighbours didn't have to deal with. But people were interested, you know, they, as long as you met them halfway and talked about where you were from, what you were doing, they genuinely wanted to welcome you in the community. I do wonder about now, the climate now, whether that has changed. I felt certainly my certain differences since having moved to Oxfordshire 22 years ago.
You'd expect it to be better now.
You
because
would.
Because we've talked about it so much more, we've thought about it so much more. Why might it be worse?
Well, absolutely. I think that there's a wave of optimism coming through the 90s, and that's how it was. My novel that I wrote originally was called Blended, because I thought about blended societies and how we're all moving in that direction, and I still think that's a great hope for the human project, you know. But I fear personally that since issues like the EU referendum and the political changes that have taken place across Western Europe and wider parts of the globe, the attitudes may have changed, and that ripples down to the smallest communities where otherness is less, is more visible. So that has a greater effect on people like Wanja and I, who are walking around and people notice the difference. And whereas that might be welcomed with more open arms, I feel that there's some a touch of hostility maybe creeping in, and it's not the experience of other people as well.
Wanja, I know you've got two little girls, one of which is ready to start school.
Yes.
How are you preparing her for school?
So at home we talk positively about all aspects of our being, whether it's our brownness, being women, being girls, and we celebrate that. And my daughter is very creative, very curious about all the differences and similarities between her and her friends. So far I've just been kind of reinforcing the positivity of being who she is. But, you know, going to school, that's beyond me. And I do worry about kind of assumptions that will be made about her just based on her colour.
What conversations have you had with the school about it?
So the school has been really efficient in kind of the transition between nursery and primary school. So they've had visits into the school over the summer, and they'll be doing a home visit when I will get a chance to kind of talk to her teachers about this. And I would want any issues that come up to be kind of talked about rather than just brushed under the carpet, because that doesn't help anyone.
Rachel, you didn't have the problem of sending your children into school, but you were a long time ago the only black girl in the school.
I was.
What advice can you give to someone who is facing that now?
Well, I would first of all say, don't be daunted on behalf of your daughter. I mean, you're right to think about it. You're a great mother to think about that ahead of time. I was, as Jenny said, I was literally the only black girl in my school for many years back in the 80s. And I think it helps as a parent if you're engaged, and you can gauge for yourself what your child's experiencing. But really, the best advice I could give would be to empower your daughters, as you seem to be doing, from an early age. So give them confidence. Don't feel that they have to necessarily foster a sense of victimhood because they'll be the only person of colour in their class. Give them confidence that they will be heard and understood. And also, I think for me, the real tools, two pillars of my life to date have been love and education. So if you're supporting their education and encouraging them to find themselves and contribute, as well as to absorb information, then you are really supporting them and being active members of the community. And that way they will shape the conversation in their school and the dialogue, as well as being members of it. But I'm sure you're talking to your girls about how they feel, mm-hmm. and if they have playground issues, I'm sure you talk to them about that.
Yes.
What do you like about living in a rural community?
For me, it's having just this access to really green, open, beautiful spaces. It's a really safe neighbourhood. The facilities at the school are fantastic. So I feel like they do have a lot of opportunities to explore while being there.
How did you involve yourself in the local community?
Well, there are a number of ways. So I arrived in rural South Oxfordshire on my own, and I was in my early 20s. So I felt, for a start, that I was preparing myself for people to be curious, because, as I say, there's this visible difference, and conspicuousness can be quite an issue if you're feeling very shy or worried about standing out. But I saw that as a positive thing, because people said, oh, you know, what are you doing here? Where are you living? And so on. There are a number of ways, really. First of all, I'd say involve yourself. Don't underestimate the Shire's love of people who get stuck in. You know, involve yourself in activities. Don't wait to be invited to things. You know, put yourself out there. And it's not just the fun days, the festivals, but also volunteering, if you have time for that. I know it's hard for two young children, but there are environmental things. It doesn't have to be always about cultural aspects. But I would also say you're an artist, aren't you? And you create. Now, creating something, adding something to the cultural dialogue is really important. So you can shape the conversation there, maybe invite people to some of your shows and introduce people to some of your ways of thinking as well. Mm-hmm. I think definitely joining in is very important. Also, using your local amenities to a greater extent than you might do if you were just in a city. So it's really important to the local grocer who might be struggling, or the butcher. don't just get your shop delivered to your house. You know, maybe go and use the local shops and talk to people, because there's a wealth of information. Use your library, yes. Very important with young girls. Get involved in books and book groups and so on. So there's a plethora of ways, really.
Why don't you, just briefly, we were talking about PTAs yesterday, Parent Teacher Associations, and how desperate they are to get people to join and take part. Might that be an idea?
That could join be an option.
Join the PTA. Well, Wanja Kimani and Rachel Edwards, thank you both very much indeed. And Wanja, the very best of luck and good luck with the girls starting school. And don't forget, we always want to hear from you. If you have ideas for things we could discuss about being a parent, do let us know. You can send us a tweet or an email, and we'd love to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Katia Adler from the Global Story podcast, and we're looking at this summer's Paris Olympics and Paralympics. Hosting the Games puts a lot of pressure on a city. This means hosting isn't quite as appealing as it once used to be. The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your BBC podcasts.